We're back, second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. So Rosenthal, he stuck his neck out for you, White. So White says, looking at you now as I denote your change, I see you as a despicable bastard, all of you. Rosenthal interrupts him. No one calls me a bastard and gets away with it. White, you are all contemptible, base, and detestable. Rosenthal, I'll knock your GD head off if you call me a bastard. White, I wouldn't try it if I were you. I, too, have many friends. Many of them would like a chance to get to know you. So let's keep this on a formal basis as it was intended at the beginning. Rosenthal then said something of which I asked him to spell. He spelled oy vey, and added oy vey Izmir. And when asked what it meant, he said, I would not understand, but I am including it here because it is me on the tape. All right, let's take a break from this for a second. I'm opening up the phone lines. I'm just about through with this, I believe, but I've got Peter in Los Angeles on the line. Peter, I'm on with Michael. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Michael. I called in the other day to tell you about Murder Incorporated.
Yes.
I wonder if you had a chance to look at that.
I sent you some
stuff on it as well.
I have. I've gotten into it, Peter. I plan on making a show out of it. You have to forgive me. I am so overwhelmed. I wear three hats. I've got two other jobs, and I intend on getting to it, okay? So, just be patient with me, all right?
No. I'm just asking if you got it.
I just turned this on
about 15 minutes ago. Who is White? Is that Theodore White? And who is Rosenthal?
Walter White.
Jacob Javits, the assistant?
White. Well, let me answer you. Walter White was an investigative journalist who paid Harold Rosenthal, who was a Jewish assistant to Jacob Javits, who was a sitting senator in the United States at the time of this interview in 1976. Okay, Harold Rosenthal was basically just telling Walter White the unencumbered truth about the agenda of the Jewish people. That's what this is all about. This is coming from an interview. Go ahead.
What happened to that guy, Rosenthal?
Within a month after this interview, he supposedly was killed in an attempted hijack of an Israeli airliner, but it looks to be as he was killed by his own people because of this particular interview.
Well, you know, I wanted to add something on. This honestly does not surprise me in the least, you know. It's surprising that anybody said it, but anybody with eyes can see what's going on. I made the connection with the organized crime and how the finance was under
Meyer Lansky,
and then the enforcement arm. If you can control the financing enforcement, you control the organization. But for organized crime, and they weren't about to give that up. But I also wanted to point out another thing, and that is that this is the only religion that has its own nuclear weapons and secret service. And I think I told you that the Mossad has been involved in organ trafficking and human trafficking and arms trafficking and ecstasy trafficking, among other things. But another thing that is used and has helped them gain control of organized crime as well, and of course, again, you never hear about it because the same people control the media, but is the fact that They can use that diplomacy, that whole mechanics of the Israeli diplomacy and the Secret Service and everything else. And just like one rival gang might rat out another to the cops so that their rivals get taken out, it's the same thing with what the Jews do with the Israeli Secret Service. And all their competitors get taken out. the competitors in the banking industry, the competitors everywhere, even in crime. So I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, it all fits pretty well, doesn't it, Pete? Doesn't it? If you take a look, you can get out of the forest and look at the trees. This all fits in perfectly well. So, you know, you could say, well, this isn't true, and it may not be, okay? But the overwhelming preponderance of the evidence tells me that it likely is. Anyway, with that, I got to let you go. The phone lines are starting to build up here, but I appreciate the call, okay? And let's move on. Let's go to Susie in Arkansas. Susie, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Hi, Michael. You asked me to call in with a little bit of this information about what happened at the end of the war.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, first of all, like I said, a lot of the people, and it wasn't just Jews, there were others that they literally starved or they died of typhus because, and that's what the gas was for, the Cyclone B was a delousing agent, and they right. used that to delouse their clothes and so forth.
Right. I'm aware of that. Go ahead.
Okay, and then also... a large number of them died under the control of the English when they took over the camps. And I think that was even before the war was over. The English took over the camps, and during that time was when a lot of them died.
Well, I know that the English actually bombed Dachau, and they killed thousands of Jews in that bombing. And then after the war, they dragged all these bodies out onto the tarmac, and they took pictures of them, and they said that the Germans did it. And that's been proven. That's documented. But they still have that very picture on display, on exhibit at the Holocaust Museum. Go ahead.
My brother had told me that Eisenhower gathered up a lot of the Germans and trotted them through the camps to tell them what they had done, and mm-hmm. which was so far from the truth. I mean, they really didn't know what was going on.
No, it was all part of the propaganda.
Right, and then, like I said before, it was a colonel an elderly gentleman that I had met, and he was there during the very end of the war and the occupation, and he said he had Jewish hunting partners during the time he was there, and he knew of a factory that had belonged to a Jew, and the government confiscated the use of the factory for their armament, and after the war was over, they returned it to the Jew. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, he got paid for it the whole time.
Yeah, so okay. See, the story that they spoon-feed us doesn't really make a heck of a lot of sense. No. Anything else you want to add before I let you go and move on to the next caller?
No, I think that's enough for now.
Well, thank you, Susie. I appreciate your call. All right, let's go to Fred and Iowa. Fred, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, hi, Michael. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, I want to ask you a question, but before I do... I do not agree whatsoever with political Israel. I want that fact well known.
Okay.
I do believe in spiritual Israel.
Okay.
Okay. What you read and from the oath and the person, I think he covered a lot of things that were absolutely correct, but it is referring to somebody else. Now, everybody...
Wait. What's somebody else is he referring to, Fred?
Okay, let me finish and you'll know.
Okay.
Hey, few people are aware of the Jesuit oath. Now, what Rosenthal gave, here's my question to you. Who does it benefit?
Who does what benefit, Fred?
What the story that Walter White had from Rosenthal. What Rosenthal said
Mm-hmm.
Who does it benefit?
Well, if you take it in context of truth, it would benefit people that would want to wake up to the truth. Is it true? Is it not true? Is the question. So what are you leading to, Fred?
Well, in 2016, from the balcony of the White House, who spoke to the United States and then went on to speak before the UN and say that you've accepted me as the righteous person or the one with the spiritual sword? There's two swords, the spiritual sword and the temporal sword. The state has the sword, the actual sword. But when the spiritual sword uses the state power or the temporal sword to kill or persuade or torture, maim, and slaughter, then that's when church and state go together, and the church, the spiritual sword, controls all.
And okay, so you're speaking a little bit cryptically, so am I to assume that you were speaking about Donald Trump?
No.
Okay, no. You're speaking about Barack Obama. You're saying somebody stood up on the balcony of the White House and said this, you know, from the White House and then from the UN. I'm going to assume it would have to be a president. Go ahead.
The Antichrist in Revelation 13 is well described and identified. Now, the Jews...
Well, Fred, are you saying that the Antichrist spoke from the balcony of the White House? What specifically are you saying?
Well, who spoke to the United States from the balcony, not on the porch, on the steps where all... congressmen and senators and presidents.
Okay. Somebody spoke from the balcony of the White House to the people of the United States, and you're asking me who? That's the question you posed to me, and I said Trump. You said no. I said Obama. You said no. Okay. Who did it?
The Pope.
The Pope. Okay.
Okay. That covers it for me. I trust your integrity. I'm not questioning that.
And you know, that one completely slipped my mind, so I thank you for that. So are you saying that you believe that the Pope, the current sitting Pope, is the Antichrist?
The Roman papacy, and ever since 538 A.D. and the 1200 days, or the 1260 years, that ended in 1798, and then when the leader of Italy in 1929, his name escapes me, reinstated the Vatican, that wound that seemed unto death was healed. And this takes a long time to explain, but I've given you much.
I've dug into it. I know that the current Pope is a Jesuit. I know that. Okay, thanks for the call, Fred. Let me continue with this. Walter White, Walter White? Yeah, Walter White. Many times when referring to a person as being a Jew, I have heard it said, well, I understand that he is a Presbyterian or a Catholic, so I would like your opinion or explanation. How do Jews feel about another Jew who becomes a Christian Scientist or converts to any other religion? Is he or she no longer a Jew? Rosenthal's answer. That can best be answered. Well, let me put it this way. I don't know what your mother and father were, what nationality. I mean, and then Walter interrupts him. My father was British English and my mother was a German. So Rosenthal says, well, if you decided to study Zionism or the Talmud or actually wanted to become converted or attended the synagogue, would that erase your English or German heritage? Walter White, of course not. But I wanted to hear it from a learned Jew. What have you said, then, that he or she is always a Jew? Rosenthal, it's stupid. It's stupid. We are what we are. No matter what we join or adopt, it doesn't change what we are. I am a Jew, and nothing can change me because I take up another religion. Such stupidity. This concept is verified in Scripture by the rhetorical question, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? And in the parable of the tares and the wheat, we can find that the tares, the children of the wicked, are utterly destroyed. None are saved from the destroying fire. None are converted into wheat. God is nothing to change the tares into something they ever were. White, but the Jews are the great part of the deceit. Rosenthal, we have a talent for confusing your issues. White, you are masters of deceit, and this cunning practice of yours has allowed your people to infiltrate the government throughout the world. Rosenthal, why not? Why should we take over the banks, the universities, the churches, and the government if the Gentiles are not intelligent enough to run them? I could not have talked this way a few years ago, but now it is different. There is nothing to undo our strategy in the world today, so I can speak much more freely. What I've disclosed may help other Jews to speak out if they have any guts. We are not a pusillanimous race. White, you're very sure of yourself and your people, aren't you? Rosenthal, we may be divided in many things, but nothing ever actually separates us. White, who is we? Rosenthal, my people. The Jews are as one when it counts most. No incident can ever divide us. Down through the centuries, Jews have learned they cannot trust other people. Thus, the Jewish racial bond is their greatest bond. White, we have heard Jews fight each other with venom. Rosenthal, ah, that's entirely different. Sure, we will fight one another, but as I say, when it counts most, we are as one. Our forte, white, is division and duplicity. It is an infallible weapon, and we are skillful, perhaps perfectionists in this application. You don't have the intelligence to compete. White, but we have a culture that you Jews will never understand or equal. Rosenthal, Jews have a family life. Our culture requires a high standard in education. We establish standards so that our kids exceed that of their parents. Our people continue to show a dramatic educational advancement. Our kids' success doesn't depend entirely upon schools, but on the family, and we are damn proud of these accomplishments. You can't compete. More than 12,000 doctors are graduated from medical schools in the United States every year, and almost 10,000 of them are Jews. Among the law students, the Jewish percentage is even higher. Jews are on such a solid foundation here in the United States that any kind of opposition to our control would only be temporary. You know, we laugh about the 6 million story, just like the story that Christ was a Jew and that God's chosen people story. This should show people that we have a solidarity like none other in the world. Jews have a closeness to other Jews whom they have never seen or perhaps never heard of. As it is said, blood is thicker than water. So White responds, Mr. Rosenthal, I hope you haven't lied to me in any of this interview, because if you did, we could retaliate on you. Do you understand? Rosenthal, what I have told you is true, all of it. I don't need to lie. White, I have found the Jews' passion is greed, profit, and the destruction of Christianity. Am I correct? Rosenthal, I cannot speak for all Jews. White, I'm speaking of the greatest majority of Jews. Am I right? Rosenthal, maybe most Jews feel that way, but there's nothing wrong with that. White, I think you just go on and on because there is a bitterness within you, and perhaps you say things that even you don't believe. Some of the things you say are almost unbelievable. Rosenthal, well, I don't give a good GD what you believe. I've given you honest answers and opinions. Now, no more questions, and don't forget our agreement. If I learn that the tapes are used other than what we agreed upon, you will suffer serious consequences. Do you understand? White, I understand. And now, Mr. Rosenthal, here is the balance of the money agreed upon for this interview. And it's finished. Now, after the tape machine had been turned off, White accused Rosenthal of not living up to the agreement in replying truthfully to his questions and as to the Jews being God's chosen people. And he replied, "We are God's chosen people. Most Jews do not like to admit it, but our God is Lucifer, so I wasn't lying, and we are his chosen people. Lucifer is very much alive." I hear the music. I'll continue with this after the break. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel, with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Before I forget it, next Wednesday, I will have, for the whole 2 hours, I will have Professor Emeritus James Fetzer on, sharing a number of updates on a number of interesting topics, so you definitely want to tune in for that one, folks. Getting back to this. Yes, we are God's chosen people. Most Jews do not like to admit it, but our God is Lucifer, so I wasn't lying, and we are his chosen people. Lucifer is very much alive. White says he was stunned. He had no further comment. He had watched this arrogant, boastful person charge at times like a chameleon and then change its color. Many times he showed a hatred, yes, even a venom. And at the conclusion, White said he felt unclean being around him. The hidden tyranny, according to White, has been revealed. Now, much of what Harold Wallace Rosenthal said brought to the surface a reality that veterans have known all along, but this Jewish treachery is more shocking when getting it all in one package. Now, it has been alleged that Harold Rosenthal was killed because he talked too much, so it is understandable, if true, inasmuch as he made such shocking statements almost 7 years ago. Now, that we now see it as a reality. As an example, we cite the staggering exploitation of the Negro and the black presence everywhere today. We minimized Mr. Rosenthal's boasting of their control of our churches. Unbelievable then, but now, in the fall of 1983, and we're now in 83, 03, 13, now we're 4 years later than that. Now, in the fall of 1983, it is a reality that the Supreme Court sanctions IRS-approved state churches. Talked about this before. We're talking about the 501c3. The IRS sanctions the approved state churches, the one that talks about what the government thinks they should talk about, but then conveniently omits what the government doesn't want them to talk about. For example, Romans 12, or I think it is, Ephesians, Leviticus, homosexuality. You won't find that being spoken about too much in the 501c3 churches. Now, when Rosenthal made such statements about church control, we felt that he was bragging, but the present-day persecution of the church and its ministries here in America by the government is today a fact. If you were told that a sheriff and three deputies would wait in the darkness of midnight to arrest a pastor, one Everett Sylvan in Omaha, Nebraska, because he intended to resume the daily educational ministry in Faith Baptist Church in Louisville, you would not have believed it 6 years ago. But today, however, it is just another bizarre episode in one of the most incredible stories in American history. Organized Jewry is determined, and the final oppression of Christianity via taxation and regulation is now fact. The enemy is not coming. The enemy is here. War has been declared on Christianity, on churches and religious freedoms. The true American way and the white race are other freedoms worth standing for, living for, fighting for, dying for? If so, let's stand up and be seen and speak up and be heard. The time to fight for freedom is still while we have the freedom to do so. Christians are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Salt and light are dominion qualities. It is time for Christians who exercise godly dominion, and if by the instrument of governmental authority a people is being driven to its destruction, then rebellion is not only the right but the duty of every member of the people. The hot blood which stood us at Concord Hill flows in our veins. We need true Americans for the defense of America against Jewish tyranny, and there are millions of freedom-loving, red-blooded Americans out there waiting to be told. So let us ally ourselves together in the refusal to permit those alien devils from ruining our once great nation, according to Walter White. That concludes part one and part two of The Great Tyranny. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. I welcome your phone calls. Always have good callers. Lots to say. I don't know about you folks, but I'm really, you know, some of this I knew. Some of this is, conjecture. What do you think? Do you think this guy was being totally honest, telling the truth? Because as it fits in to what's happening here, and by the way, this interview was 1976, 86, 96, 06, 16, 42 years ago. And look at what has happened over the past 42 years. Look at the control. Look at, and as I mentioned yesterday, Alan Zabrowski, who, by the way, at the beginning of this program, I was talking about this guy, this Mick, whatever his name was, that was trying to debunk this guy. And it just, it irritates me when they start trying to debunk somebody because of their scholarly or lack of scholarly credentials. It doesn't, to me, make any difference whether you have a Ph.D., or a master's degree, or whether you just are street smart. Okay, I know many people that are very, very, very knowledgeable about many issues in the world that didn't even graduate high school, one of whom is on this network. Not going to mention any names, but very, very well-educated in street smarts, in history, and in what's going on. So when you start talking about that and debunking somebody just because they don't have the scholarly, achievement that you think they should have to be able to qualify or be qualified to talk about that, you got to start looking at the individual that's making the accusation. We'll be back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick around. More to come. As always, phone lines are open. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last...
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Yeah, it wasn't because I didn't know enough. It was because I knew too much. Does that make us crazy, folks? Should we just forget about this or try to unlearn what we've learned? You know, give me a little overview to this whole thing with this Rosenthal interview and looking around us at what's happening and events that have happened in the past. And bringing up again Zimbrowski. You know, he brought in the program yesterday, Zabrowski pointed out three things. Who, doing 9/11, had the motivation? Who had the positive reason? Who had the expertise? And who had the access? All three of those, the answer is Israel. Israel had the access because their security was all Israeli. They had the expertise, their intelligence, our intelligence can do it, but they had conveniently put many, many people in the offices, or they didn't specifically, but they were, you know, invited in and appointed to certain positions, i.e. Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, all these people that are supporting the agenda. And so when you look at this, and you look at the five Israelis that were arrested, detained for 10 weeks, and then conveniently absolved of any wrongdoing by the FBI, i.e. Robert Mueller, the head of the FBI, Michael Chertoff, dual Israeli citizen, Larry Silverstein, who conveniently leased those two World Trade Centers from the head of the New York Port Authority, or the New Jersey Port Authority, that guy was a friend of his. Frank Lowy, all of these people with strong, you know, dual citizenship, strong ties to Israel. Well, who else had that power? Who else on the planet could have done this? And I would contend that the answer would be nobody. Nobody could have. How is all of this swept away? Nobody questions this, all right? A lot of people, a little less than 50% now, still accept the original official version of the 9/11 events. We don't, okay? And according to the last report that I read, 54% of the American people don't. Now, they know. They have a feeling in their gut that they're not being told the truth, but they don't know exactly what. They know they've been lied to, but they can't really figure out all of the particulars of who actually did it. But if you take this and put it in chronological order, there's nobody else that could have done it. Nobody else that would have the motivation, expertise, the access, the control within our own government that would be able to pull this off. And let me remind you that this isn't the first time. Because remember, Israel bombed and strafed the USS Liberty for 2 hours, killing 34 people, injuring 170 or something like that. A couple of the members have actually had shows on this network. We knew it. The head admirals, one of the most decorated admirals, Marines, Army, in the hearing they had about it on Capitol Hill, they knew it was an act of war. It's in the congressional record. And it wasn't even published in the United States. It wasn't talked about on any mainstream network. Why? Because they own the networks. Does this make sense to all of us? Regardless of whether you think, well, you know, the Jews run the world, or the Khazars run the world, or the Zionists run the world, or the Jesuits run the world, doesn't make any difference at this point. What I'm talking about now is specifically these events in history that always seem to benefit Israel. And right now, the thousands of soldiers that have died on foreign soil to fight wars for Israel. How many thousands did John say? 22,000+ that have died at their own hands, veterans, through suicide, because they witnessed firsthand the atrocities or were given orders to do things that were unconscionable to them, and they came back to the United States and they literally couldn't live with themselves. I'm sure that is probably the majority of the people that wound up taking their own lives. And when I say that, and I think I've mentioned to this in previous shows, my mailbox is filling up, my email box is filling up with Democrats that are just continuing to lambaste President Trump. Specifically, I keep getting an email from somebody who purports to be Nancy Pelosi. Now, I'm just going to take a minute and read this lady. I just got this email during the break, okay? This supposedly comes from Nancy Pelosi. She says, not only has President Trump disrespected President Obama by calling him the most ignorant president in our history, he's all but destroyed President Obama's phenomenal legacy. Really, Nancy? Tell me about this phenomenal legacy of Barack Obama. Are you talking about Obamacare? The Affordable Health Care Act? That was phenomenal. How many people's finance and budget were literally destroyed by that? You know, I mean, what specifically are you talking about? Are you talking about none of the campaign promises that Obama made? Are you talking about when he would chant, "Yes, we can, yes, we can," and you play that backwards and it says, "Thank you, Satan"? Is that what you're talking about, Nancy? She goes on to say, she watched as Trump reversed President Obama's commitment to the Paris Climate Agreement. insulting our global partners, and endangering our environment. He slashed the individual mandate, intentionally destabilizing President Obama's signature health law. Yes, he did. Okay, because this thing that was global warming didn't go over real well with a whole lot of scholastics in the industry. So you had to change it to climate change. So it wouldn't matter whether the climate went hotter or colder. It's changing. So we've got to impose that CO2 carbon tax. Now, who is behind that? Well, I think we know. The same people. But can you imagine the audacity of this lady? And I'm sure it's probably not her. But these people that are saying they reversed Obama's commitment to the Paris Climate Agreement, which, by the way, would have severely cramped this economy because we were the one paying for most of it. She goes on to say, he's destroyed President Obama's policies on the Dreamers. Oh, you're talking about those illegals that come into the country? Right? That's Obama's policies was to let them all come in. Doesn't that again fit part and parcel with the mixing up of the cultures so you wouldn't recognize them in 50 years? And whose idea was that? Offshore oil drilling and even his Iran nuclear deal. Well, what was that deal exactly, Nancy? The Iran nuclear deal. Now, we know that part of the reason that we're in these never-ending wars is because Israel eventually wants to get rid of Iran. And if you recall in the show that I mentioned the other day, okay, there's only a few little places left for them to fully, you know, engage in, engulf on this biblical world government. Palestine was mentioned, has to be gotten rid of by, you know, buy them off or force. Well, what are they doing? They're using force. Iran has to be gotten rid of. And the only reason that they haven't carried this out is because Russia and China has vetoed the agreements. Russia and China are allied with Iran. They have, I believe they're being supplied oil. They have come up with a BRICS Nations agreement. There's five countries that are involved in that. All right. And they're going against this Federal Reserve, you know, international gangster system. And by the way, let me remind you, who's behind that? I think we all know the answer. So anyway, she goes on to say, my Democratic colleagues and I are fighting back relentlessly, but without a majority in either House or Congress, we have nearly no power to stop them. I'm deeply worried, and this is in bold letters, folks, I'm deeply worried that if we don't elect a Democratic House to stop Trump's rampage against President Obama's achievements, he'll run our great country into the ground. Well, he's done a real good job of that. Stock market's about 25,000. It was 20,000, and it was just kind of, you know, puttering along there during the last 4 years of Obama's presidency. But, you know, he's going to run the country into the ground. I think, really, in that regard, he's doing a pretty good job. I'm not saying he walks on water by any stretch of the imagination, because I'm seriously concerned about the rumors I've heard about what's his son-in-law's name? Jared Kushner? Okay, that is actually invested in these illegal settlements that are being, you know, constantly built upon over in, well, what is supposed to be Palestine, but Israel's just kind of walking all over that. So she goes on to say, Michael, I'm calling on you for swift. Oh, no, I'm sorry. For swift? No, delete that. Michael, I'm calling on you to swift and urgent action. I have a massive funding gap to fill. I need 10,000 Democrats to step up in the next 48 hours when we mark the anniversary of Trump's inauguration. Can I count on you to rush $1? No, not. I'm not. You can't count on me for anything, Nancy. As a matter of fact, the only thing you could count on me for is possibly responding to this saying, take me off your email list, because I don't even know where you got the list to begin with. All right? You must have went out and bought a complete list of email addresses. Are any of you out there receiving these same email, because I'm getting them every day, sometimes twice a day. And, you know, I'm going, okay, how did you get my name? I'm not even registered to vote, folks, so I have no idea how they got it. Well, okay. With that, let's go to Mike in Colorado. Mike, you're on with Michael. Go ahead. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Michael. Thanks for taking my call, and thank you so much for the show today. I mean, not only is it really eye-opening and something tangible I can take to people that want information, but it kind of reinforced my belief that we're raised up to believe in a moral, just, dignified law, and everybody who's controlling every system, be they Zionists or Cap or whatever they are, they go by the law of the jungle.
they go by the law of whatever fits them, benefits them financially, to the detriment of anybody else's life, really. You know?
Well, absolutely, and that's what a coyote would do to a rabbit den.
Yeah, and when I read this, and I'm looking at this, and all the similarities between what's going on, not only present, but past with this, and really, there is only one agenda that fits, and I'm not calling it a religion. I'm calling it an agenda. There's only one agenda that would fit that. You know, so I would have to say the overall preponderance of the evidence is that Rosenthal, for the most part, was telling the truth. What do you think, Mike?
No, absolutely. I mean, you can, and you studied, and everybody who studied as he's speaking, you can go back through your own mind and you can pick up agenda after agenda after agenda throughout history, and it fits the narrative that he was putting forth.
Yes, and you know, it makes you wonder how many other, not just the USS Liberty and not just 9/11. I mean, I was pretty thoroughly convinced that 9/11 was carried out by the Israeli Mossad before I even looked at Zabrowski's stuff, because the pieces of the puzzle fit in such a way that there is nobody else that could have had the motivation. The motivation would be, you know, just revenge, but the positive motivation or the expertise or the access that the Israelis did, because we have to remember they controlled all of the security at all of those airports. Even with the airport where the underwear and shoe bomber, okay, and they controlled the security for the World Trade Center 7 and the World Trade Center 1 and 2. They controlled all the security. So how easy would that be, Mike?
Well, yeah, when the fox is guarding the henhouse, we know the outcome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but
my brother-in-law
has
been in law enforcement for his entire career, and about 12 years ago, he's pretty high up, he was sent to Israel for some advanced training.
Yes.
And he came back, and he looked me in the eye, and he said, we're in deep trouble.
And did he tell you why he made that statement, Mike?
Oh, yeah, the dehumanization of criminals and tactics used on civilians were presented in a way that it was an us-against-them mentality, and he was never trained that way.
Right, and they used to be peace officers, now they're law enforcement, but here's what's sick about this, and I did a show on this last week about a guy just trying to walk in, an investigator walking in, I think it was NBC News did it, walking into 38 police departments, you know, just to ask if they had a form to file a complaint, and this guy was subjected to all kinds of intimidation, he was arrested, I mean, just, you know, and yes, you go over to Israel to get training. And they're getting military training, the same kind of training that they had in boot camp to dehumanize, you know, the people of Iraq or the people of, Syria or whatever, calling them camel jockeys or whatever. So they have to first do that for it to carry out. But now it's being done, being trained by the Israelis, interestingly enough, Mike, to come back over here with the police departments that are policing us. All right. Now, what does that tell us? Does that not lead right back to what I had just finished reporting on the Rosenthal interview? I mean, is
exactly,
that mindset?
Which is why I had to call you.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. Anything else you want to throw out there?
No, I appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Well, actually, today's Thursday. I still have to come back Friday.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Okay. With that, let's go to John in Austin. John, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
How you doing, mate?
Well, I'm hanging in there, buddy. Hey, by the way, you emailed me that letter from the senator, but it didn't. What you had read on the air the other day, it didn't say anything about that. I wanted the part that said talking about Israel as our great ally and all that stuff. That wasn't anywhere in that letter. What?
Do you know what? I probably sent you the wrong one because he sent me another letter a couple of days later. So I've sent you the wrong one. I'm sorry. I'll get the other one to you.
Yeah, because I want to read that on the air, because I want to get the input from the audience. As I mentioned, I called John this morning, by the way, folks, and I asked him to send me that letter from his congressman because I wanted to share it with you to show you what kind of evidently, you know, brainwashing that happens in Congress when you are indoctrinated into their little, you know, clique of whatever they are. Anyway, yeah, send me the right one there, John. What's on your mind?
Okay. It's just you were talking about Nancy Pelosi sending you an email there.
Yeah, yeah.
It made me laugh because during the campaign for the last election, I started getting emails from Hillary Clinton's campaign. And my first reaction was to just hit the little unsubscribe box to stop them coming. But I thought, you know what? I'll just I'll let these keep coming because the contents, Michael, were just hysterical. They could make a movie. They were so everyone was. Oh, thank you, John, for your support and blah 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 and all this butt kissing and what have you. And then down at the bottom, you know, we're just this much short. Could you donate a dollar? Go take a jump, Mrs. Thank God.
But doesn't it show you? It shows you how stupid they think we are. Doesn't it? Hold on. Yeah, I'll hold you over. I got to go to the final break here. Stick around, John. We'll be right back in three, folks. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Last segment coming up.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
All right, folks, we're back. Final segment of The American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. I've got Scottish John on the line. You know, I love that brogue, John, because that's what, you know, my former Scottish wife that I talked to on the phone for many, many, many hours is part of the reason I fell in love with her is because of that brogue. Now, I don't love you, John, okay? I want to make that clear. I'm not a homosexual, but I like listening to your voice. Go ahead.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, what do you say to that? Follow that, killer. Go ahead.
I just found that other email and sent it to you. I was trying to think of, you know, I got a total, and in fact, there's probably more. I got at least 700 emails from the Clinton campaign.
Oh, my God.
And the one that sticks in my mind was, and I couldn't think of her name there when I was calling in. I went, God, what was her name? What was her name? You know that beautiful Mexican or Hispanic actress, Selma Hayek?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The girl who did that snake dance in that movie, Dusk Till Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
I got an email from her inviting me to dinner on behalf of the Clinton campaign. Michael, have you got any idea how it feels to refuse a date from a Berkeley?
You refuse it? I would have accepted it.
Oh, God, I couldn't, what? Man.
I would have accepted it and used that as a platform to just rip her a new one. Go ahead. Well, I don't know about her. Maybe you're right.
But I'll tell you what, though. Go ahead.
I was going to say, doesn't this fit part and parcel with Rosenthal's interview, though? Because he says, we're stupid. And he's right. The majority of Americans are, you know, willfully ignorant. They don't know what's going on here. Go ahead.
I know. And, that's understandable. Now, funnily enough, I've just thought of another thing regarding Selma Hayek. I remember seeing a while back there that she voiced her support for Palestine. And it kind of gave her career in Hollywood a bit of a kick in the butt.
Oh, yeah.
So I respect her. I respect her for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, I did a show on this the other day, as you know. You know, we get a completely lopsided story about the Israel-Palestinian conflict. I mean, look, they supplanted these people that became Israel on top of a nation. They'd be like taking 55% of the United States and saying, okay, we're going to take all the people from, you know, Outer Mongolia and put them in the middle of the United States, and then they're going to start, you know, becoming aggressive and taking over our land, you know, mowing down our houses and building their own houses or huts or whatever on there. How long would we tolerate that? And our government, not only is our government behind it, but they are feeding the financial coffers of these people to do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And but as you say, only because I guess the vast majority of Americans have no idea. Now, also, I've got a friend of mine here. She's an American lady. She's a black lady. Not that that matters, but I say that because, and she's about mid-50s age-wise. And we were talking about this the other day, and she was telling me that when she was younger, and she used to go to church, they had it drummed into them by their preacher or their pastor or whatever it was that they had to support Israel.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I got to let you go, John. The show's over, so I'll talk to you later after I read this email. Yeah. Okay, folks, end of another day. Thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned for Michael Rivera. I'm sure he's going to have a lot more for you. I'll see you same time, same station tomorrow. Bye.
A price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.